ذاك العادل في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله ذاك العادل في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله من أنزل الأمطار وفجر الأنهار وأنبت الأزهار تزخرف الجبال من أنزل الأمطار وفجر الأنهار وأنبت الأزهار تزخرف الجبال
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولاً سديداً يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزاً عظيماً أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد ف مع الدرس السابع تحت عنوان عداوة الشيطان للإنسان. My dear brothers and sisters, this is our seventh lecture talking about our mortal enemy, Iblis, or the Shaitan. We have said before that the animosity and the hatred started when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the Shaitan to be expelled from his mercy and destined him to the hellfire, and when Prophet Adam alayhi salam made the sin and was caused to descend, Shaitan swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will do his best to mislead all the children of Adam alayhi salam and lead them to the hellfire. We also said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that, after he had accepted the repentance of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, he had chosen him as a prophet, and at the same time he told us that he had revealed on us two kinds of clothings, one for the body and one for the soul, physical and spiritual. The physical one is the clothes that we have to cover our awra or our privates, and the other one, which is the spiritual one, which is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to cover our awra, which is our sins. And this is the most important one. The most important one is the one that makes you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot more than the physical one. This is like saying someone who is dead spiritually and another person dead physically. The spiritual death is more dangerous than the physical death, because spiritual death after you die, after it dies, the end is hellfire. Physical death is just you die from this world, and the end could be the Jannah if you are righteous. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us about the shaitan, and he told us that he does his tricks step by step. He dresses the evil with good. He makes everything looks good when in reality it is bad. He promises and he lies and he takes step by step. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about that and warned us about that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, those who are righteous, shaitan cannot succeed with them, because he said, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمْ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except those sincere servants, he cannot do much with them. And if he does something with them, they will immediately remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will seek refuge in him, and they get rid of the shaitan, his whispers. We've always said the line, Iblisu wa dunya wa nafsi wal hawa kayfa an-najatu wa kulluhum a'da'i. We talked about our enemies, Iblis, dunya, yourself and your desires. These are the only major enemies that we have. Two of them external and two of them internal. Shaitan and dunya, external. Yourself and desires, and nafs wal hawa, internal. Each one of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about how evil it is, and at the same time told us what to do to get rid of it or to avoid it. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the dunya, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This life is nothing but a deception. What you see is going to go. So you enjoy it for a while, then after that it's gone. And the solution to that, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. The hereafter is much lasting and much better. When it comes to the self, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. The self constantly enjoins or constantly makes you want to commit evil and stay away from the straight path and satisfy it. The solution to that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is the one who purifies it from that bad quality. Hawa, desires, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Do you see that person who took his whims as his own God, meaning that he is worshipping his whims. He just want to do that. أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Are you going to be protecting, or you're going to be accounted for him or in charge of him? He's worshipping his desires. He's worshipping his whims. The answer to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أُمْرَهُ فُرَدْ. Don't listen to any person who follows his whims and desires. Finally, which is our topic, the shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Shaitan is your enemy, deal with him as an enemy, and the way to deal with him, as we are going in this series, inshallah, we'll find out all about it. Today, we wanted to show you the ways of the shaitan when he wants to mislead. How does he attack you? And what does he start with first? We have six bouts that the shaitan takes with every human being. And if someone tells you that, and we probably mentioned that before, and either did not say it properly, or did not mean it, but we always said that wrongdoers, or you hear wrongdoers and disbelievers, don't have shaitan with them. Shaitan is with everybody, good or bad. And the proof of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ تَأُزُّهُمْ أَزَّا. Can't you see that we have sent shayateen on the disbelievers, inciting them vigorously? So shaitan goes with the kafir and goes with the believer, but he might have to work harder with the believer than the disbeliever. Why? Because the disbeliever is already one of the aids of the shaitan. But think about it. If you're hiring someone, don't you teach him? Don't you push him? Don't you want to make him improve? Don't you want him to do more work? You do all of that. So you have armies of the shaitan, and the shaitan wants to use them more. Now you can see a disbeliever who, for instance, doesn't like you, but not interested in harming you. Shaitan makes him do that. Makes him not only hate you, but harm you also. So shaitan can make you do a lot of things, or can make your enemies do a lot of things, more than just simply harming. Now we know the Jannah is levels. Hellfire is also levels. Not every disbeliever equal in punishment with the other disbelievers. They're not all on the same level. That's why the hypocrites in the bottom of the hellfire. Why? Because their harm to the believers is maximum. This tells us that a disbeliever who doesn't harm anyone is not going to be punished like a disbeliever who is also harming other people. A disbeliever who propagates things against the believers is going to be punished more than the disbeliever who doesn't do that, and so forth. So here's the shaitan dealing with us. Six bouts. The first bout, jawlat al-kufr. He wants you to become a disbeliever. That is his ultimate goal. And that is what he looks for, and that's what satisfies him. He wants to give you the knockout from the beginning. He wants you to commit disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He comes to you, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us before, in a hadith, he comes to you and start reasoning with you, leading you. Who created earth? Maybe you go into Allah. Who created the skies? Allah. Who created you? Allah. Who created Allah? Ha! For a person who doesn't have the knowledge, he instilled the doubt in you. At least he makes you think about it. And some people may go deep into thinking about it and leads them to disbelief. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the solution is quickly. Say la ilaha illallah. Stop thinking. Don't think, don't use the mind, because it will definitely mislead you. Because no one knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be known. When it comes to that, just say la ilaha illallah and you'll solve that. Taib. So he failed on this one. The second one is bid'ah, innovation. This is the second bout. He wants you to either worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with something he did not ask you to worship him with, or at the same time, he wants you to think something different than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to believe in. For instance, he succeeded in many of the deviant sects in Islam. When you talk about Al-Qadariyya, the sect that called Al-Qadariyya, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what's going on earth unless it happens. Once it happens, now he knows. Now, what kind of a God is this? That's a human thing. I don't know what you're going to do the next 5 minutes. Once you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now knows that you're gone. Like if you're thinking about going in 5 minutes, Allah doesn't know. Once you get up, oh, now he knows that you left. This is what they believe, and they are Muslim. The second one, Al-Jabriya, succeeded in them too. Al-Jabriya, those who say that we are forced to do whatever we do. So a person goes and commits zina, and you tell him, why did you do that? Said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do that. Astaghfirullah. If he doesn't want me to do that, he will stop me. He forced me to do that. Those are the one who take advantage of the qadr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything. They would say that he wrote for me that I'm going to commit zina. Well, if you say, isn't that true? We say, yes, it is true. But you cannot use it as an excuse. How did you know that he wrote for you that, so you go and commit it? Did you look and you find out, oh, it's written on me, so might as well go ahead and do it? You don't know that. So those people, they take advantage, they use the qadr as an excuse. But the believers say, I will work good, I will do good, I'll do my best to do good, and when something happens different than what I have done, we say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined that. That is not an excuse. That is belief. That is the real belief, is you work for it, and when it doesn't come, you say, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it. So we have a second sect that the shaitan succeeded in making them what? Making them fall in bid'ah, in innovation. Khawarij, they say, if you commit a major sin, you're a kafir. It's over for you. There is no such a thing as major sin are forgiven. Once you commit it, they say that in this dunya, and this is similar to the Mu'tazila, in this dunya, they look at you different than in the hereafter. In the hereafter, you're destined for the hellfire, and that is also a bid'ah. Also, Asha'ira, they say that, similar to other sects, that they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. And when you say that, no, He is on the throne, they say, oh, astaghfirullah, you're making Him like a human being. Brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us where He is. He said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. I'm not making, I'm not doing, I'm not guessing, I'm telling you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. My son, one time, I sent him to Jordan to a school, fun school supposed to be and everything, and they teach him some Islamiyat and all that. And one day he came and said, Baba, you always tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the arsh. The teacher asked us today, I said that, and he said, you have just committed kufr, you need to say La ilaha illallah to become Muslim again. And I went crazy, and I said, this is the teacher that... And I called, and he was one of the Ash'ar. And he wants to convince me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not on the arsh. So, shaitan was successful in doing that. Successful in making some people make tawaf around the graves and asking the dead people to forgive their sins. This is also another innovation that the shaitan succeeded on. Or some people, you find them remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with musical tones. They play a drum or they play some music and everything, and they start singing and thinking that they are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the way out of all of this? Hold fast to the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every time you hold fast to a sunnah, an innovation runs away. And every time you let go of a sunnah, an innovation comes in. That's why anytime you find someone committing a bid'ah, he has definitely abandoned a sunnah. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, there isn't anything that gets you closer to Jannah, but I have commanded you to do. And there is nothing that will get you in the hellfire, but I commanded you to stay away from. So everything is complete from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Holding fast to the sunnah is the answer to the shaitan if he wants you to make an innovation. The third bout, the bout of major sins. He failed to make you a disbeliever. He failed to make you innovate. Now he comes to you to major sins. And he tells you, لا يضر مع التوحيد شيء. You say, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. What is major sin? Nothing harmed you. You believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of the deviant sects, Murji'ah, and some of the Sufism, they made riba halal, for instance. Riba is halal, it increases your money and you have a steady income and all that. If the shaitan doesn't succeed in making you fall into riba, for instance, because you're strong, he move on to the next one. He move on to the zina. And he follows his path in leading to it step by step. If he doesn't succeed in that, he will move to the next one, which is either stealing or drinking or any of those. He keeps moving from one to another. And he is looking for what? For weak spots. This is like someone wants to enter a building and he starts checking all the doors and all the windows to see where is the easiest way that he can break in and get inside the building and get whatever he wants to get from it. Shaitan does the same thing. He checks you in every aspect of major sins to see which one yourself desires more and easy for him to penetrate through you to make you fall into that. How you protect yourself from that? Understand the ayat that talks about all those major sins, that they are haram, like وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءُ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah made transactional sale halal and riba haram. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَى. Don't get close to committing fornication. And also, if you fall into a major sin, remember the dua of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is called Sayyid al-Istighfar, the best of the dua that You repent to Allah, which is Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdika wa'dika ma istata't a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana't abu'u laka bi ni'matika alay wa abu'u bi dhanbi yani abu'u bi dhanbi a'taraf bi dhanbi wa a'taraf bi ni'matika alay faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. This is a beautiful hadith. This is a beautiful dua from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which says, O Allah, you are my Lord. There's no deity worthy of worship but you. You indeed have created me, and I am your servant, and I am fulfilling the covenant, which is worshiping you and you only, and the promise that we have promised, which is to know that you are our Lord as much as I can, because we can only do our best and seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I confess your bounties upon me, and I confess my sins, so forgive me. No one forgives except you. If you say this dua, inshallah, even if you commit that sin, it will be forgiven. The fourth bout, which is the bout of minor sins, yarhamukallah. Minor sins, he comes if he fails in committing shirk or kufr, committing bid'ah, committing major sins, he comes to the small sins. And he would tell you, man, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives major sins, small sins are a piece of cake. They're nothing. Look, belittle. I mean, what's a look? Or what's a bad word? Or what is this? It's no big deal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely is going to forgive that. But he doesn't tell you that if you do a sin and you continue on doing that sin, it becomes a major sin. Because you're insisting on it, it becomes a major sin. As the major sin is no longer a major sin when you repent, the small sin is no longer a small sin when you insist. When you insist, it becomes major. And the major, when you repent, it's gone. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us an example about those sins which we call muhaqqirat al-dhunub, that sins that people belittle. They think of it, it's no big deal. You know, like someone will say, what's the big deal of listening to music for one time, attending a party for one time? I'm not doing it every day. This is just a wedding that they invited me and I go. Or what's the big deal of just taking a cigarette and smoking one cigarette? I'm not smoking a pack. I'm not a chain smoker like some people. And what's the big deal in taking a look? And what's the big deal in this? And what's the big deal? Those little sins, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an example. He said, if people gathered in a desert and they wanted to bake some bread, each one of them gets a stick and then they light the fire. Do they bake the bread or not? They do. But can one by himself bake it with one stick? No. So all those sticks together made good fire that cooked the bread. The same thing, one sin from here, another sin from there, enough to bake you in the hellfire and make it major, because all of them gathered together, they will be adding up against you. What's the solution to that? Constantly repent. Because you constantly do minor sins. And at the same time, strive hard against yourself. Know that good deed erases bad deed. Therefore, you need to make a lot of good deeds. And steadfast on the five daily prayers, because they erase the sins in between, minor sins. Make sure you attend Jumu'ah prayer, because it erases all the minor sins in between. Make sure you witness Ramadan and fast Ramadan and all, because Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said five daily prayers, Friday to Friday and Ramadan to Ramadan, erases all of your minor sins. Fifth bout, Jawlat al-Mubahat. Now, he's coming to attack you from a different angle. Now, he's attacking you with halal stuff. He could not make you become a disbeliever. He could not make you innovate. He failed to make you commit major sins and minor sins. Now he comes to you and he says, from those permissible things, we know Shaitan pleased with any disobedience. He comes to you, for instance, and he says, he makes you eat, but you don't really remember your mother. with some of your food or some of your cooking or some of your shopping, and she is next door to you. He makes you eat and cook too much and be extravagant and start throwing things in the trash. He makes you take care of your children and your family and forget the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not attending jama'ah prayer or jum'ah prayer or functions for Muslims and such on the account of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes you, for instance, in instances where you're supposed to show happiness, he makes you extravagant, like you want to have a wedding. You have to rent a place in such a fancy hotel. And along with that, you hire yourself some musicians or some singers. Along with that, you hire a different band for the zaffe. I don't know what you call a zaffe in English. What's a zaffe in English? Yeah, maybe you don't have it here. But yani, when you take the groom and the bride and they walk together, they have a different band for those fancy people who want to make it look different. They have that. So they become too extravagant in halal, at the same time involving haram in it and thinking that they are doing something good. Who makes him do that? Naturally, the shaitan. Another thing he does, he comes with the same thing, with minor, with the mubahat. He comes to very rewarding things and makes you compromise that with least rewarding things. Yeah, and for instance, tells you, 2 rak'ah of Qiyam al-Layl. Man, this is the best thing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why don't you do Qiyam? Try it, it's good. You get up and you do Qiyam al-Layl and you fail to wake up for Fajr. What is Qiyam al-Layl comparing to Fajr? Nothing. Fajr prayer is naturally the best. This is an obligation. The sunnah of Fajr is better than this world and what it contains. Or he makes you go and pay condolences to someone who lost a valuable member or some relative or some, and not attend the janazah prayer. Going and visiting is not as rewarding attending jama'ah prayer. I mean, janazah prayer. Janazah prayer, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one qira'at, the reward of it is as big as the mountain of Uhud. So he makes you go and do this different than that. Or he makes you, for instance, go visit your friend and your mom is sick and let someone else drive her to the hospital. Or your wife is sick and let someone else drive her to the hospital and you say, I have a friend to visit. Who's more important and which is more rewarding? Naturally, this is how the shaitan does it. And the final doubt, which is the worst, you probably think that the first is the worst natural, but look at this one. If I mean the worst in the sense of if you are falling into that problem, then you know that you have reached a high level of righteousness, which is inciting people against you, even your own family. Your family would be making fun of you, your family would be harming you, your people, the close people, will be going against you. This is exactly what happened to the prophets. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, day, night, open, secret, everyone, even his own wife, all of them were against him. 950 years. Picture that. 950 years. And few people, 80 some, who believed in him. If someone here goes for da'wah here, if you go for da'wah and you want to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a year and you don't attract anyone or no one, I mean, you'll go crazy and you quit. Look at Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who went against him? They wanted to burn him. His own people. His own people. And the people with him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. They wanted to choke him. His own tribe, his own relatives were against him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the worst and this is the hardest. Taib. So 6 bouts from the shaitan. He wants you to commit kufr. fails, he goes to bid'ah innovation, fails, he goes to major sins, fails, he goes to minor sins, fails, he goes to permissible things to make it too much involved in it to make it haram. If he fails, he makes you compromise the least rewarding with the most rewarding, and if he fails, he will incite everyone, including your family, against you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that shaitan has mess and has nazil and has waswasa, all of those names for the shaitan, different ways of attacking you. Sometimes he finds a gap or something that you are weak in, and he goes through that and start inciting you to do some that sin. Sometimes by whispering to you, sometimes by talking to you softly. But the whispering is the most common one. That is the shaitan constantly doing that against every Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, shaitan does waswasa, and yourself does waswasa, whispering. Yourself is how many kinds? Three. Nafs ammara bis-su. Originally yourself constantly inciting you to do haram. Wants you to have hatred, wants you to be jealous, wants you to have pride, wants you to envy, wants you to do all of those things. This is a nafs al-ammara bis-su. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said ammara, not amira. Amira is tell you do this. Ammara, no, constantly do that. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Keeps nagging you until you do it. This is the worst one, and this is what we all originally are. And then you improve yourself to the next one, and nafs al-lawwama. And nafs al-lawwama is the second level, which is the self that tells you, just sit with your friends here, or sit with your wife tonight, and don't go to the masjid. After the prayer time gone, you start sitting and go, I can't believe I did that. I should have went, you know. I could have just went 15, 20 minutes and came back and got the reward of the jama'ah. Or you say something bad to your friend. No, he looks like he's going against you. He's insulting you. He is. And then you say something. Then after you say something, you go home and you say, I can't believe I said that to him. I hurt his feeling. I shouldn't. I think he's a good guy. So basically you do haram, and then yourself started to blame you on that. This self is fluctuating by the hour. Sometimes you find that self so righteous, the next time so disobedient. Sometimes you find it fighting against every evil character or quality, and the other time wanted to fall into everything. And sometimes you find it wanted to fulfill its desires, another time doesn't want to do that. So this is most of us in that category. Most of us, I'm sure, experienced doing something and then regretting doing it, or started coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you work hard, you get to the third level, and nafs al-mutma'inna, the content nafs. This is the one that feels so happy just being, remembering Allah. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَجُعِلَتْ كُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The most pleasurable things in my eyes is salah. This self, it feels good remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, staying from haram, and that's the one that we need to work for all the time. So when someone tells you, you need to strive against yourself, like in some of the hadith, I believe it's Mursal, that the highest level of jihad is struggle against your own desires. When we say that, we mean that we need to move ourselves from the number one self, which is inciting you to do bad, to move to the second one that blames you when you do bad, and to go higher to the third one that is content and satisfied. And this is the self that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ أَرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّ فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. This is the self, the content self that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commended, and he said, enter my Jannah. طيب. finally, I wanted to touch a little bit here between the difference between the whispering of yourself and the whispering of the shaitan. Shaitan whispers to you and yourself whispers to you. How do you know which is which? Shaitan, remember that shaitan wants to make you fall in any sin if he fails to make you the levels that we said about. But he is satisfied to make you fall in any sin. Basically, he's satisfied in worst cases to not make you gain higher places in Jannah. His ultimate goal is to take you to hell. But if he has to demote you in Jannah, he would do that. And that's why he will tell you in when you are very strong and very strong believer, not to do most rewarding thing, do the least. So the shaitan, we know that, he wants to do that. He, for instance, comes to you in the salah. You wanted to pray. What does he tell you? Why don't you, like you pray, why don't you do it after this game? And after that game, your friend left you a message. Why don't you call him and return his call? And after that, you would say, I wonder if you made your wudu good. Then you fix your, looks like you have a spot here. Then you do it again. Like I know a guy that he probably do the wudu 10 times or more. He actually looks like he's in the shower. Every time he finishes, I've seen him when he goes, Allahu Akbar. Then he goes, Allahu Akbar. I've seen him several times going like that. And I said, who died? And when he reads, he constantly, because I talked to him, I told him, why you do that? He said, because I keep forgetting. I keep thinking that I did not say Allahu Akbar when I started. Shaitan loves to do that. And the imams, the great imams, said that this is craziness in the brain for those people who do that all the time. And even when you go to the bathroom and you clean yourself and all that, there are so many things that the shaitan can ruin your life. And keep telling you, oh, I think you splashed yourself. Oh, I think your pants touched the ground and there is some impurity there. Oh, I think you do that and you end up changing your clothes and washing again and showering again and cleaning the floor and all of that. You spend all of your time doing that. This is what the shaitan wants. What is the reason? I mean, why does he do that? What is his goal? His goal is to make the act of worship so hard on you to the point that you either miss it or you quit doing it. You quit the whole thing. It's not quit doing the waswasa. So the shaitan does that all the time. If he fails to do that, he might tell you, okay, there's an old man. Why don't you help him with his bag? You know, he's very old. Once you hold the bag and you walk a little bit and he said, hey, he's too old. Why don't you just walk away with that bag? Allah knows what's in there. He gets you into that. You work in a place where you are in charge of the safe box. You're in need for money. Shaitan comes and tells you, why don't you take $100? It's a loan. You know, when you get the money, you put it back. You're not stealing it. And then you never put it back and you never get it. And this is what the shaitan does all the time. Yourself wants you to do a sin, a particular sin that she likes, and stick to it. Shaitan wants you to do anything. Not one thing, anything. If you find yourself stuck on one particular sin, that is from yourself, not from the shaitan. And if you find yourself just, anything comes bad, something is pushing you to do it. If you see someone smoking, you want it to smoke. If you see someone singing, you want to sing. If you see someone cussing, you want to cuss. This is from the shaitan. But if you find yourself, for instance, all the time, like a woman wants to all the time put makeup and go outside. That's from herself, not from the shaitan. Because that's all she's thinking about. If you see someone stuck on any disobedience, and that's all he wants to do, this is from yourself, from the shaitan, because shaitan doesn't care for one particular thing, he does for all. So, in conclusion, shaitan attacks in all angles, starting with the worst, which is kufr, and then moving all the way down to getting you the least rewards. He attacks you from the weak spots. If he finds some strength in you in one, he would move to the next one until he finds the weak spot. He whispers, he finds what yourself likes, and he whispers to you and he incites you to commit that. And if yourself whispers to you, it is to make you do something in particular and continue on doing it. If you find yourself not doing one thing in particular, just doing different kinds of sins, this is from the shaitan, not from yourself. We stop here, inshallah. And if you have any question, we will answer as much as we can. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We have some...
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو فالشمس